listening to CIOI. Indy 101.5, Hamilton's home for alternative.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I'm Sarah Jessica and this is Hot Shots on Air for anyone who hasn't tuned in before. But if you're tuning in again, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And tonight I am talking to Emin Elevata. He's a singer slash guitarist of Sun-Dried Wales, an indie rock quartet from Hamilton. You can find Emin on Instagram as Emin Elevata and his band on all socials, Spotify and Bandcamp as Sun-Dried Wales. So hey Emin.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right. How are you?
Not bad.
Not bad. Fantastic. And I guess just to kind of start everything off and introduce you a little bit, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
Whenever people ask me this, I usually just say alternative.
Right.
Because I feel like it's such a broad term that we just fit right in, right?
Yeah.
For a while we've been like Sun-Dried Wales has been identifying as noisy grip grop, just some genre we made up to explain all our influences coming together, but it kind of doesn't really make sense at the same time.
Sure.
But yeah,
how do you spell Grimgrop? Is that like Grimgrop?
So it's a Grimgrop. So
grip.
It's I think Grib.
Yeah,
Grop.
That's great. I love that. You guys are pioneers right there.
Yeah.
Who would you say are your biggest musical influences?
I feel like for me, they're constantly changing.
Sure.
Like I like taking influence from, whatever I like. But I guess like consistently, like my biggest influences have been, Loco, Pavement,
mm-hmm.
Jeff Rosenstock,
mm-hmm.
And Pop.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a great list.
Yeah.
What do you feel as though you take from those influences? Like, do you take a little bit of something else from every band, or what do you feel as though is the main draw for you?
Well, as like a singer, I do take a lot, like lyrically and melody-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But. Yeah, like overall just songwriting. I just like taking influence from like that influence from them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guitar playing as well. Because they're all like heavy guitar acts. And yeah, like I always find like different things to play because of them in like other bands. And yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite guitarist?
Oh, that's a really tough one because,
yeah.
I don't know, like, I feel like I was never, like, really, like, this, like, virtuous guitarist, like,
sure.
Who can, like, play all these complex things. I guess, like, I take a lot of influence from, like, Stephen Malkmus of Pavement.
Okay.
And like Jay Maskus of Dinosaur Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because like they're pretty simple when mm-hmm. it comes to their playing. They just play what's like what comes out and what like feels right.
Mm-hmm.
But over like the past like 5-ish years, I think Nels Klein
mm-hmm.
from Wilco has been like a huge influence because like even though he's like really complex, like there are just like a lot of like little things that he does that are like so simple that add so much to that sound. And I've taken like a lot from him because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. Do you remember what you listened to as a kid? Like maybe what your parents played around the house, that sort of thing. And do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
Yeah, I think like the things I listened to as a kid definitely shape, how I've turned out
mm-hmm.
as like a musician. My parents are from the Philippines
mm-hmm.
and so a lot of my childhood I would listen to like Filipino popular music
mm-hmm.
But at the same time they'd like play like the Beatles, a lot of Michael Jackson, and yeah, that's all I can really remember.
Yeah. What do you feel as though you take from those early influences? What do you think? Do you think there's a line between like what you listen to then, like Michael Jackson and those that Filipino pop? Do you think that there's a line between that and the music that you listen to now?
I don't really know. My musical taste has like completely changed.
Yeah.
I go back and listen to a lot of those like artists that I listened to as a kid, especially like the Beatles. I feel like the Beatles are like timeless.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think like the big thing that lines up are like mostly like melodies.
Sure.
And just like overall like just good songwriting.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. And I mean, the Beatles, you have that early rock influence, right? Which now you're very much into indie rock. So, you know, there's a line there at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I find that like a lot of musicians have this sort of like moments where this moment of transition where they find a piece of media, like a song or an album, and they go, wow, like that really speaks to me. I wish I made that. And that eventually leads them into creating music themselves. Can you think of a time when you felt that, when you listened to something that really spoke to you and you were kind of like, wow, like I wish I thought of that first?
I actually like think of that a lot, like yeah. whenever I listen to like new music,
yeah,
or like I just discover like different bands, I'm like, I wish I thought of that.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, there are like too many like examples that come to my head with that question, but I think like in terms of like a more recent time where I was like, wow, I wish I wrote that. I'd probably say the album A Hair Shirt of Purpose by Pyle.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because just listening to the opening track, I was like, damn. I was like blown away by just how just soft and like very like simplistic it was, but then like over the course of the album it just like expands and like there's like this whole chaotic energy between like all the songs just being like put together, and there's just like a lot that like came to me emotionally
mm-hmm.
just from listening to that whole album.
Yeah. Can you think of like a time maybe a little bit earlier, maybe before you started creating music yourself, like maybe as a teenager when you had that same reaction to something?
I guess it wouldn't be like, it's not just a song. I'd say like a whole artist. I feel like,
sure.
When I first discovered U2, I was just like blown away.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of like the first bands I ever played in, we covered Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Right.
And yeah, that just like opened up like this whole new world for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the first instrument that you picked up? Was that the guitar or was that something else?
I actually started with like vocal and piano lessons.
Piano, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And what eventually led you away from piano, or do you still kind of play it once in a while?
I still do play it. I feel like it comes in handy.
Sure.
With like Sun-Dried Wales, like whenever, like we've been recording like an EP for a while, and just like little ideas I have, like for like to add depth to the song, I'll just like play something on the piano. But yeah, like I feel like I kind of got bored of the piano.
Sure.
I think that was like a big thing for me. I just kind of got bored with it, and then I just stuck to vocals. And eventually, like, I wanted to learn how to play guitar.
Yeah. When did that happen?
Roughly around the same time, like, I started playing in, like, my first band.
Okay.
Like, after we played, like, this Battle of the Bands for our conservatory, I just thought, you know what, I want to play guitar.
Yeah, why not?
And yeah, and I started lessons pretty much like right away.
Cool. Yeah. Did you study music in school at all?
No, I kind of wish I did.
Sure.
But at the same time, I'm kind of glad as well that I didn't. I feel like, I wouldn't have, like, met a lot of the people I know now if I didn't go into the program that I went to at Mac.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have met, like, Cash, the other guitarist in Sun-Dried Wales. And I feel like he was very much instrumental in, like, starting this band. And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. I mean, you know, life has a way of working itself out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any other instruments that you'd love to get into at some point?
I've always wanted to be a drummer.
Yeah.
But I think I'm pretty bad at rhythm, though.
Sure.
I will say that I tend to get roasted quite a bit for my rhythm sometimes.
Yeah.
But then a lot of people also tell me that, like, you're so good at rhythm. You should play the drums. And I'm like, I don't know.
Ah, so you're getting mixed signals.
Yeah, a lot of mixed signals.
Yeah.
But I hope one day I just pick it up.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, it's really fun. And, like, whenever I watch, like, music live, I'm just, like, mostly taken away by, like, drummers.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. There's a ton of work going on there. It's quite complicated. Yeah.
For sure.
When did you start singing? What age was that again?
I started singing when I was, like, I think 6.
Wow.
Yeah. My parents, They got me into vocal lessons because, all because of, like, this performance that I did with, like, my kindergarten class, where we sang a song, and apparently I was, like, really into it, and just, like, extremely like flamboyant and just like trying to take away the whole show. So that's how that started.
That's cute. How were those lessons? And I guess, when did you start? So how long did those lessons go for? They started at 6, and then when did those end?
They ended roughly when I was like 16.
Okay.
Or just like a bit before then.
Wow, so like a decade.
Yeah, and during that time as well, my last music teacher, or vocal teacher, I should say, he got me to sing in a bunch of choirs, mm-hmm. which also helped like that progression.
Sure. Yeah. Do you feel like you were, it seemed like you were pretty confident kindergartner, but do you feel as though you were confident singing from the get-go, or did that take a bit for you to get used to?
I feel like at first I was very confident,
mm-hmm.
but then I feel like I also like the first battle of the bands that I played,
mm-hmm.
finished second place.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that just like, it kind of like shook me. Mm-hmm. And from then I was like, I started becoming like more conscious of like, whether I was performing as well as I could be.
No, well, second place is amazing.
I know second place is amazing, but like, I feel like my parents were very much expecting us to finish first.
Yeah, well,
and they're very instrumental in just like pushing me
right
to like be better.
Yeah. We really do grow into insecurities, don't we? I mean, we're so fearless as kids, and then... yeah. What do you feel as though was, like, the biggest lesson you took away from singing lessons? So, like, what was the thing that you felt you learned? Let me phrase that differently. What was the most important thing you learned from those lessons?
That's a good one. I feel like I wasn't really taught this,
mm-hmm.
but, I guess I just like learned from experience. Like everybody's born with like a different voice, and there's like sure you can mimic other singers, but I found that I was best when I was just like within like my comfort zone and doing the things that I did best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think I learned like it's okay to have the voice that you have.
Sure.
And just to like make the best of what you got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. That's a great lesson. What artists do you look up to vocally?
At first I looked up to Bono a lot. I remember when I was recording with one of my other bands, like back in I think 2016. I took a lot of influence from him on how like he sang during like the Joshua Tree sessions,
mm-hmm.
where he would just like if he had like a voice crack, he'd just let it happen and work with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like just a lot of things that he did influenced me a lot. I feel like nowadays I look up to like Jeff Tweedy of Wilco and Stephen Malkmus of Pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And and also like Stefan from Pop as well.
Totally. Yeah. What do you feel as though, what is it about their voices that you're really drawn to?
Honestly, I don't really know. I think it's, I just really like them as singers.
Yeah.
I guess with Stefan from Pup, I just love the way that he screamed. That was like a big thing. And there was a time where I like really tried to mimic that. Because when A Dream Is Over came out, like, I was graduating high school, and just like a lot of the emotions that I felt at the time were also like very present in that album. And I would like listen to it like every day and just try and scream along with it.
Yeah. No, I love Stefan. He's fantastic. Since you mentioned before that, like, you were having a little bit of an issue accepting your own voice and sort of coming into your own, and that's something you learned. Do you feel as though you were comparing your voice to the artists that you look up to?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, 100%.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was also, like, comparing myself to, like, other singers, like, in the scene, and, like, other bands that I knew of. And, yeah, it's definitely, like, I was, like, self-conscious, but at the same time, like, really confident.
Yeah. Yeah, you can be both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When do you remember when you started creating music? And did you start that outside of, like, being in a band? Like, did you start that on your own?
Yeah, I remember when I was in grade four, I got signed up for this talent show from the Philippines, where they were trying to find their next Filipino pop star.
Cool.
And I ended up winning, like, my age category, but that kind of went nowhere.
Okay, yeah.
But well, over time,
that's amazing. Like,
yeah. I mean, like, at the same time, like, those, I look back to those memories and I was terrified.
Yeah.
Just performing in front of so many people. And I still can't believe, like, I somehow got myself onto that stage and did everything that I did.
Yeah. How old were you?
I was like 10.
Oh, jeez.
And yeah, I look back on it, I'm like, just how? Just how did I do that?
I couldn't do that.
But yeah, aside from like that, like, I, when I was in grade eight, I like just started writing songs, and eventually, like, I just started playing in bands because I guess, like, I didn't want to be up on stage by myself. I really like the comfort of having, like, someone to lean on, you know?
For sure. Yeah, no, it definitely makes you feel a lot more comfortable, and, you know, you've got, you know, people aren't just staring at you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Totally. When did you join your first band?
So, I guess, like, I've joined, like, I've been joining bands since I was, like, in grade six.
Yeah.
But I feel like my first, like, actual serious band, we formed it back in, like, 2013 or 2014.
Okay, yeah. Do you know when you began to look at music as something more than a hobby? Do you remember that sort of transition between, like, oh, I'm going to do this on the side and kind of, you know, as a fun thing, to, like, no, I want to focus on this and, like, you know, produce, you know, like record actual songs with my band, and we're going to be performing places, and, like, where, do you remember that transition and when that began?
I think it began, like, probably around the same time that I've first joined, like, my first, like, like actual band.
Mm-hmm.
I was like really serious about it, and I wanted to like play all these shows and just like make as much music as possible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we were all in high school.
Yeah.
And so, I guess like we didn't get to play as much as I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I feel like looking back on it, it was like the right amount. And like everything like was perfect in hindsight, I guess.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, there's only so much you can do in high school. Like, yeah,
for sure.
How did your family and friends react to you pursuing music?
Nobody was really surprised.
Yeah, I bet.
I guess like my parents were concerned at first.
Yeah.
Most
are.
Yeah, they were very concerned because when like I'm still like finishing my degree at McMaster,
mm-hmm.
because I decided to drop out like in my fourth year,
mm-hmm.
to pursue like music with Sundried Wales. And like that was like a huge decision that I made. Like my parents were expecting me to finish school and then pursue music, but I decided that music was more important at the time. And they came to our first show like after like Cash and I dropped out of school, and like I showed them that like I was serious about it. Like we played a really good show. Everybody loved us, and like overall my parents were just like very impressed that like how good we were as a band.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and I mean like they're still happy. Like sure, like COVID happened and we didn't get to do as much as we wanted.
Yeah.
But like they know that like we're still working on things. They know that I'm like finishing my degree.
Mm-hmm.
And like hopefully like by the end of like April, like we can like start playing as many shows as we want again.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, like, release our EP that we've been working on for so long.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, we started recording, like, January 2020.
Yeah.
And then, like, we're pretty close to finishing. We're gonna finish, like, vocals and all other things, like, March that year.
Mm-hmm.
But then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And now it's been like 2 years since we started that project.
Yeah, just a small obstacle, you know?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Where did you grow up? Did you grow up in Hamilton?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Born and raised.
Cool. What was the music scene here like for you growing up?
I was talking about this with someone recently. Mm-hmm. I forget who.
Mm-hmm.
But we came to the conclusion that, like, everybody just knows everybody.
Yes. Yep.
And, like, a lot of the bands that from Hamilton that I listened to and that I looked up to, like, my sister somehow knew, like, mm-hmm. a bunch of these bands,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty cool. Even though she doesn't really listen to, like, local music. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, Hamilton, I always describe it, it's like, it is technically a city, but it feels like a small town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And it's like, anybody you meet is somehow connected to somebody else you meet. It's kind of mind-blowing. Yeah. What do you feel like is the biggest difference between the music scene when you were growing up and the music scene today?
If I'm being completely honest,
yeah.
I think just everybody got older. That's the only difference I really noticed.
Sure.
Aside from that, like the St. Hollywood closed down, and
yeah.
that was like a big bummer.
Yeah.
And it's just like with all like the COVID stuff going on, like, I feel like the scene is changing in terms of, like, I guess, like, how we've been performing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, a lot of bands have been doing live streams.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know, like, a lot of people have been going back to just playing, like, DIY shows.
Yeah.
Instead of playing at, like, venues.
Yes, yeah. In apartments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Garages. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are still venues, but without this site in Hollywood, it's like, I feel like it thinned it out so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think, like, how big of an impact that the St. Hollywood had as a venue.
Yeah. It feels like it kind of halved, like, half the shows.
Like,
yeah. I guess, what do you think could be, I guess there's a few things, but what do you think could be improved about the state of the local scene?
I don't really know. I haven't really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, for me personally, I think, I would say, like, we need more shows, but, like, right now it's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also really hard to, like, maintain a venue.
Yeah.
I just wish, like, there is more, like, support for artists.
Yep.
I
mm-hmm.
guess. But yeah, no, I haven't really thought about that much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe more support for, like, venues, like, maybe more funding from the city for venues or something, so that, you know, because in turn they help the artists and, you know, it trickles down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there hasn't been, like, that much support from, like, the city at all.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, no, and, like, it's just funny because, like, in, like, recent years, like, the way Hamilton has been, like, developing, like, they want it to be kind of like Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the arts and music scene in Toronto is such, like, a big part of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like the city, if the city really wants to go that direction, become, like, something like Toronto, like, they should be, like, focusing on not just, like, whatever they're focusing on right now, but, like,
restaurants,
they should, restaurants and condos, like, they should be focusing on artists.
Yeah. It's, you know, that's why people, you know, come and stay in Toronto, is for the local scenes, is for the art. Mm-hmm. And with Hamilton, if people are moving down here, you don't have that. Like, what do you go to, right? Like, where's, you need that entertainment factor, but there's just, like, I feel like there's a lot of words being spoken and not a ton of action.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Who are some talented local artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
Ooh, there are a lot that come to mind. Mm-hmm. The first that always comes to mind is Basement Revolver.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because they're all so, so good, and they're also all amazing people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nim's helping us record our EP. Like, oh, they've cool. been helping us for, like, quite a while now, and just watching them work as well,
mm-hmm.
it's like, they deserve so much more. They're, like, one of the best, if not the best, like, Hamilton band right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. Yeah.
And other than Basement Revolver, I always, like, shout out, like, our good friends, Tripper and the Wild Things.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we've, like, been through a lot together. we planned like I guess like our first like mini tour together,
mm-hmm.
and like we've been like such good friends ever since like we first started playing shows together.
Cool. I'm familiar. I have spoken to them before, so yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, they're great, great dude.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a dream collaborator? So you can kind of go big on that. Like, definitely looks true for the stars. Like, is there like, you know, an artist or a band or whatever that like, if you two collaborated on a song, or if you were featured on their album or they were featured on yours, like, can you think of like your absolute dream?
I'd probably say Wilco.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, probably Wilco.
Mm-hmm.
But I do really love the band Pile right now, and a part of me wants to like work with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like dream collaborator. I probably like 99% of the time always say Wilco.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. We're actually going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single from Sun-Dried Wales. You can find Socks on their Bandcamp or YouTube, and it's a single about heartbreak, a failing relationship, and feeling mistreated by your partner. Just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and I am speaking with the Hamilton-based vocalist and guitarist of indie rock band Sun-Dried Wales, Emin Elevata. So, we just came back from playing Socks. What's that single about, Emin?
It's about a breakup. It's about, like, I guess it, how would I put this? This is written at a time where I was starting to feel, like, the fallout of that breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of, like, the lyrics came, like, really naturally, and they kind of just describe, like, what and how I was feeling about, like, this whole situation. I guess, like, it's mostly based on, like, the emotional turmoil that I felt, like, being in that relationship,
mm-hmm.
being out of it, and, like, having to deal with being out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, well, I think it's pretty relatable.
Socks, like, when we released the demo, like, back in 2020, a lot of people messaged me and were like, that song really hits. Got me in the feels, yeah. And I was like,
yeah,
it do be like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, another thing about the song is, I guess, like, the one of the main things from the song is it focuses on, like the last interaction mm-hmm. that I had with my ex before like writing this song mm-hmm. and it was like a really terrible interaction because like just the things that they said and like and telling me things like, oh yeah, I'm going on a Tinder date,
mm-hmm.
yada yada, and it's just like that feeling is just like terrible mm-hmm. because like you stay in a relationship for like over 2 years and you become so attached to that person and just like finally like realizing that like it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It like hurts. Even though like I was the one that broke up with them, like it still hurts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, definitely. And it's totally valid. And I mean, as you're seeing from everybody who's messaging you, it's completely relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Who did you work with to record and produce that track?
Back when Cash was living in Westdale, mm-hmm. we just recorded, all guitars and vocals in his bedroom.
Okay.
And then we recorded, drums and bass at my parents' house.
Right. Okay.
And so it was just, like, a really small thing.
Yeah.
Where we just wanted to, like, put something together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you find that process? Was that, like, the first time recording, producing, like, a song for you? Or have you done that before?
I feel like that was, like, the first time where I had, like, full control.
Sure.
Over, like, how we were producing it. And sure, it didn't, like, turn out the way that we wanted it to, but I feel like it was a great, like, learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you hope your listeners take away from Socks?
I guess, like, I hope, like, they find this sense of, like, power, I
mm-hmm.
guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this power to, like, move on. Because a lot of this song was just me rationalizing it's okay to let go. Like, and, like, meeting, like, so many people and learning about, like, what they've gone through. It's, like, this song really, it's like you don't have to put up with like any form of like abuse or like mistreatment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's okay to like leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, and I hope like to those who listen to this song, I feel like I hope like they find the sense of like clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And like happiness within all that sadness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a fantastic takeaway, and that's a great message, and yeah, I'm sure people will take that away.
Yeah.
Do you hope to see that single on an album or your upcoming EP at some point?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Cool.
Like, when we were in, during the pandemic, like last year or the year before, I think near like the first like lockdown, I was talking to one of my bandmates and we're just discussing like, what's the best song that we've written? And it always comes to like Socks.
Mm-hmm.
Because of just like how everything just comes together and it just works. It's catchy. We all like have so much fun playing it. And yeah.
Yeah. How did you meet the members of Sun-Dried Whales?
Great question.
Mm-hmm.
Also pretty funny.
Yeah.
So I met Cash, our other guitarist, at McMaster in our multimedia program.
Mm-hmm.
And I was roasting him for liking the Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was just like messing around, like, because I do like the Arctic Monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't really liked them recently.
Mm.
And I was just making fun of them for that.
Mm-hmm.
Our current bassist, Alex, he joined the band like, I guess like August 2019. So like we were already performing at that point. Alex is like a really good friend of mine. We went to high school together. And like when he joined the band, he like dropped out of U of T and was just coming back to Hamilton. And I was like, "Oh, we need a bassist. Do you want to play?" And he was like, "Sure."
Mm-hmm. Easy as that.
Yeah, very easy. Our old bassist Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
I met him and our drummer Curtis through my ex, like the right. song that Socks is about.
Right.
I met them through their little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they end up becoming really good friends of mine, and I asked them to join Sun-Dried Whales early on. Well, I asked Brendan first, because we were told that Curtis was too busy to play in bands. But then eventually we learned that Curtis is not busy at all. So we finally asked him to join, and like he was like the drummer that we were looking for.
Awesome. Look at that. How would you describe Sun-Dried Whales' sound?
Well, as I said earlier, noisy grip grop.
Mm-hmm.
Like we all have like so many like influences coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cash takes a lot from like various like indie rock bands, such as like Always. I'm trying to think of the one band, Peach Pit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Peach Pit. Alex just plays whatever and it works out.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis is influenced a lot by like Kevin Higuchi from the Jeff Rosenstock's band. And I don't know, like all of our influences together, we kind of create this like mix and match
sure.
of sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it tends to be kind of chaotic a lot of the time. Hence why we call it noisy grub grub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. When did the discussion of creating the band begin, and did you all have the same vision for it?
So at first, no, we didn't have the same vision for it.
Mm-hmm.
To answer that. So Cash wanted to play music with me like back in 2018, but I was very much like, no, I'm never playing music again after I quit my old band. Mm-hmm. Post Romance.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually he somehow convinced me to like play guitar with him, and I was like, you know what, I am not done. And my proposition for starting a band was, we're going to call ourselves Sun-Dried Wales, and we're only going to play alternative country, like Wilco.
Nice.
And that obviously didn't like turn out the way I originally envisioned it to be,
mm-hmm.
but like, I'm very happy with like what this band has become, mm-hmm. because like we've all like grown so much together.
Yeah.
Like both like inside the band and outside. And yeah. And I just want to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a great sign.
Yeah.
What are your goals for the band for 2022?
Number one is finally release our EP. That's the big goal.
Mm-hmm.
Our second goal, we haven't really talked about it much, but I talked about it briefly with Josh from Tripper in the Wild thing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to finish like our mini tour that we had planned like back in 2020. Because we didn't get to play like the latter half of it since COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we do want to finish that. And I guess like for me personally, I just want to play more shows and just get cracking on like new like music and just keep writing and keep recording and see where it takes us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like a good plan. And, how do you feel as though your playing as a musician has changed since you first started playing? So from the beginning of like guitar and like playing in bands versus now, how do you feel you've changed as a musician?
At first I was like, very showy. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was kind of a clout chaser.
Mm-hmm.
But like nowadays I'm just like, I feel like I'm much more like chill and like relaxed.
Cool.
But at the same time, like, very intense.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, I prefer it that way. Like, what I've learned is, like, I don't have to be, like, this big, showy performer to show that, like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just let, my playing and, like, the music that we've written as a band show that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's a testament to growing into yourself and feeling more confident in your abilities. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, what can we look forward to seeing from you?
So aside from like all the sun-dried whale stuff, I'm currently working on my undergrad thesis.
Ooh, cool.
For a program at McMaster.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an EP or an album. I still haven't figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's like due in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
You
got time.
Oh yeah, I have all the time in the world for this. It's an album that focuses on like me being like a person of color, mm-hmm. and just like trying to reconnect with like Filipino culture.
Cool.
And so I'm hoping to release it. If I don't release it, that's also fine. I'm mostly focused on like sun-dried whales anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like for me, like sun-dried whales is like the only thing you can really look forward to. We'll see how things go.
Yeah. Will you be making that thesis like publicly available then?
Most likely.
Cool.
I'll probably just like put it up on Bandcamp and like let people download it for free.
Cool. Well, everybody listening, you should look forward to that and check that out for sure. And thanks so much, Evan, for jumping on here and talking to me. Oh,
thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. All right, everybody listening, you can find Emin on Instagram as Emin Elevata, on his band on all socials, Spotify, and Bandcamp as Sun-Dried Whales. And we're going to wrap up this episode with the single Socks from Sun-Dried Whales. If you didn't tune in earlier, it's a single about heartbreak, a failing relationship, and feeling mistreated by your partner.
Hey guys, this is Emin Elevata of Sun-Dried Whales, and you're listening to Hot Shots on Air on Indie 101.5.
The night, the spark of that you.